and welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you from the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is an international prophetic voice, a minister, and our friend, Marianne Peluso McGahan. Our co-hosts today are Marcella Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from their home in the Ozarks, here's your hosts, Pastor Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker, and welcome everyone to our show.
Hi there.
So excited to have you here today.
Yes, we are.
And Marianne Peluso's back with us.
Yes, she is.
One of the great prophets of the day.
Yes. She's like you. She's a watchman. I call you to the two watchmen I personally know. Well, and you know them as you hear them give us words of what's going on.
Amen. Yes, Marianne's a watchman, a prophetic gifting, an insight into end time events, and just a great woman. She's a great soloist.
Yes.
She ministered around the world at Crusades. She was a close friend and confidant of David Wilkerson, ministering with him many times at Times Square Church in New York City. So we're happy to have Marianne Peluso McGahan back with us today.
Yes, we are. She's part of our family. Hi, Marianne.
And we have Chris's vase behind us here. You'll see it.
Husband.
I don't know. Her husband, Chris, who is a glass blower, which is a rare thing today. That's her husband. And their dream is to move their studio where they do the glass blowing here to Morningside. Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
People could see the glass blowing and get some of these beautiful things being handmade.
What a story of restoration, though, because when you hear the story of these vases, they're all about restoration.
Yeah.
And I can always go back to the Dream Center. And I want to tell you something. It never gets old. When you have a setback, listen, don't take a step back. Get ready for your comeback. And
that's
as we're
right.
witnessing right before our eyes, the full restoration of Morningside, USA, but your life, Dad, and Mom, your life, and we get to be a part of that restoration. Nice. But these vases are probably the, you know, what Tommy Barnett used to use, the, you know, bringing the Bible to life. It's almost like show and tell.
Yeah.
And that is a picture of restoration of this ministry. The broken pieces, you used to call yourselves Humpty Dumpty, right?
That's right. That's right.
But what a beautiful story of representation of what's
they're,
about to take place here at Morningside.
They're beautiful. But, you know, yesterday was an amazing day for me.
It was.
How about you, Lori?
It was amazing. We had a very special day with our volunteers, our staff, our whole team. It was just really a wonderful experience because Jim Baker came back and was on the stage.
What did you feel
for
like?
For the first time in really over a year.
Me and you walked out together.
Oh, I loved
and
it.
And the audience was filled.
It was just like seeing our family.
Marcella is here, of course, today with us as our co-hostess. As she is every day. But there it is. There's shots of it there. I can't believe it.
Appreciation luncheon.
Oh, look at old stiff man
there
walking out there.
Stiff man. You're so funny, honey. Yes.
Those are our volunteers at Morningside.
Yeah.
I mean, they have been with us all these years. And to have a moment to appreciate, that's the team that makes it all happen right there.
Amen.
I tell you what, I had such a good time. And the studio was just filled with our people. And we had great music. Tammy Sue sang. We had
Clayton,
who is one of the greatest piano players in the world.
Absolutely.
I don't care what anybody says.
He is
one of the greatest.
He is.
And he works in our engineering department.
He does.
This man does
He needs
everything.
To get back on stage more. And I told Tammy Sue, this year is the year. There's Chief of Volunteers.
That's right. That's our volunteer coordinator right there, Miss Deborah. She's amazing. She helps us place people where God has given them amazing gifts. And so that's our entire team at Morningside.
Laying hands on her.
It was like coming home, back to our family. We get to see our small little family here, you know. And, you know, we have a few people behind the scenes, and then us, you see us. But we see every day and we're with every day.
I stood up for.
So to see all of every. And you preached, Jim, you preached a great message.
And I can't wait to get back.
Yes, amen.
I can't wait back to have our audience again. I need the audience more than they need me.
That's right. And yes.
I think it's probably one of your greatest messages that God has ever given you, Obed Edom, to be near the God's glory. And I want to tell you something. There was a special anointing inside of Morningside yesterday.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something happens when you connect yourself, your calling with God's glory. I don't think there was a dry eye in the audience.
Right.
I held back myself, and I know a lot of you probably did too, but to watch you come back, the two of you, I think Tiffany leaned over and said, this was the day a year ago that we stopped being here, and for the two of you to come back and our volunteer, listen, if you want to volunteer, you better get in line because it's going to get long. People are starting to, we started training people on camera, the volunteers, and be able to.
And they're moving here.
Yeah. They're moving here. Absolutely.
I mean, Lori and I drove through Morningside to see all the growth and everything, and Grandma Shire's new house is almost finished, and other houses.
That's right.
So many houses.
It's amazing.
Some of our staff are building new houses, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's
the incredible. Growth of Morningside, and it's going to be sold out before
long.
I can't believe it. It's so exciting to see it happen. And I went over the plans for the first time in a long time of the new studio to do the finalizing of it. Oh, man, it was exciting. It was energy. It was powerful. It was just the people were so responsive, and it made me
just
feel so welcome. And I got to say to you and Tammy Sue that the place was beautiful.
Absolutely.
It looked like it would have been all polished and clean, and it was just beautiful. I thought there'd be dust about an inch thick on everything,
but we know better. Listen,
Tess,
if you ever come to Morningside, don't be surprised to see Tammy Sue walking around Gray Street, talking, meeting with people, maybe even singing. But she has your heart, Dad. Tammy Sue really does understand what it is to maintain a building. And listen, this is the building that you have given to, you have sown your seed to, and it's, you know, Tammy Sue really takes it to heart to take care of God's property, but your house, can I say that? But it was so good to see that you had all your friends. I call them friends because they said, "We're your friends. We love you, Jim. We love you."
They were
helping you preach, but it was so good to see
some of the
smile.
People that have been with me for years, some decades,
Absolutely.
Were there in the audience yesterday.
And then a lot of new faces that were so excited to get to know as we start going back to the studio.
The music was amazing.
Oh, it was.
We could do a whole show with just the music from that show, from that performance. And I'm going to have Tammy Sue open with a song today. And, you know, we call it the Book of the Day Club or Book of the Month Club. Because we keep changing the title of my book, and I don't change it.
Oh, he's talking about his new book coming out, everybody. And July 4th, where he's introducing it.
But I have to explain all this because I've been announcing that I'm Still Standing is the name of
the
book.
Right.
Well, the book's not called I'm Still Standing anymore. This week's title.
Should we let Tammy Sue tell them what our new book title is?
I think,
we should.
Let's let everybody see.
I'm very happy with it because I think it's my title.
It really is.
Because it's the title.
Get ready.
From the theme of my
life.
Ministry and theme song from Heritage years.
So let's let everybody see.
Okay, here's Tammy Sue and me. Sing my title of the book.
You can make it. You can make it. Guess what? This trial that you've been through, God showed you every day just what to do. You not only can make it, but you made it. You can make it. Guess what? I don't care what's going wrong. God didn't let it last that long. And you're not in this thing alone. You can make it. So come on, sing it. You can make it. Yes. You can make it. Oh, this trial you're going through, God's gonna show you just what to do. You can make it. You can make it. I don't care what's going wrong. God won't let it last too long. And you're not in this thing alone. You can make. Oh, you can make it. And you did make it, Mr. Jim Baker.
Oh. Wow. I want you to be there at that,
yes.
that great, I call it a party, because it was, we had dinner together.
It was an amazing moment.
And staff and the volunteers. Was there to honor the volunteers.
Yes.
And without volunteerism, the church is not going to make it in the last days. There's going to be days when times are so dark that we have to stand together. And we stand, we volunteer. Oh, I could preach it all over again. Let's do it on the air next week, okay?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yes,
Nana?
Absolutely.
Can you work that into the schedule?
Yes, let's make it happen.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, you know, Mary Ann Peluso is one of my dearest friends and confidant. She's a confidant to me, just as she was to Dave Wilkerson, because she advises me and all. And Mary Ann, you ministered regularly at Times Square Church at the invitation of Brother Dave Wilkerson. He even asked you to move there and be on staff as a worship leader. Tell us about your experience at Times Square Church before I get into the prophetic word for now.
Thank you, Jim. And I'm so honored to be here and love you guys so much. And yes, we are confidants in the spirit. We share the same burden of the Lord. And I'm so grateful. Love you so much. And yes, what an honor that was to be with, we call him Brother Dave. Those close to him called him Brother Dave, as I affectionately still refer to him as a mentor, a spiritual father, a confidant. And my time there was very intense. It was a confirmation, a in-gathering, an impartation of where God has me right now for this moment. Think of that. That ministry is being fulfilled through many people. I'm one of many that Brother Dave took in and poured into. With me, it was wonderful because we saw the same things coming upon the earth. God, for some reason, because all we want to do is glorify him and not the show, not the not for anything that we can get, but out of love and obedience to answer the call that he's put on our lives as watchmen. And my time there was wonderful. I remember one time I was coming in and his secretary, Barbara Macri, called and she said, Mary Ann, Brother Dave is going to Yale University. He's going to preach there. And he wants you to go and do the music. So we got there, landed. I got settled in. And with another brother, the three of us drove to, I think it's in Connecticut, New Haven, Connecticut, Yale University from New York City. And I love Brother Dave. He had a sense of humor. But when we got there, there were rioters. There were picketers. They were picketing. I don't know how they knew that we were going to have a meeting there in the hall, there in the auditorium. But they were out in full uniform. They had protesters signed. They were walking in a circle. We got in, and when we got in, we began to pray. There were a few saints gathered, and it was just a blitz for the university that God would Brother Dave felt like there needed a voice, to be a voice that would penetrate through the darkness of what the lies of what they're teaching these young people in universities anymore. So the ministry started. I had the honor of singing, and he came. As he came, we could see in the back of the auditorium, there was some scuffling going on. And lo and behold, to our eyes, as I sat on the platform with Brother Dave, these people began to, the picketers, the protesters, the atheists, when they were angry outside, standing there and shaking their fists at us, they began to come in one by one. They came in, they sat down with their signs in the back, and one by one dropped their signs as the penetrating message of the gospel of Jesus, the total sacrifice, the judgment of our sins, but the beautiful, beautiful love story of Jesus taking our sins so that we can be free. And one by one, when the altar call came, one by one, they came. They came weeping, they came bowing. And so this was what I experienced, just the pure gospel through a pure vessel that produced pure power.
What did Dave had to say about the times we're living in right now?
Brother Dave was convinced, as I am, that we are in 2 Thessalonians 2, the third verse, where it says that before the man of sin, of perdition, the Antichrist, would reveal himself, there would be a great falling away, an apostasy. The church would be lukewarm, cold. They would leave the old paths. They would despise holiness, repentance, and judgment. They wouldn't want to hear the pure word of God and would make kind of like the golden idol. You know, the children of Israel made that golden idol bow down and dance because it was a God made after what they wanted. And he really felt that we are in that time of the falling away of the church, of what we knew as the church. So he was very, very adamant about that. That's where we are.
Brother Wilkerson spoke and wrote often about the lack of anguish for God's ways. We have a clip here from that sermon. I'm gonna ask us to roll that clip. Is that right, Mondo?
Yes, sir.
So we have that video right now from Dave Wilkerson. Let's hear this man talk about the anguish of God.
And I look at the whole religious scene today, and all I see are the inventions and ministries of man and flesh. It's mostly powerless. It has no impact on the world. And I see more of the world coming into the church and impacting the church rather than the church impacting the world. I see the music taking over the house of God. I see entertainment taking over the house of God. An obsession with entertainment in God's house, a hatred of correction and a hatred of reproof. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful, acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you or around you. Anguish, deep pain, deep sorrow, agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric and our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you'll find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, he would share his own anguish for what God saw happening to his church and to his people. And he would find a praying man and he would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish. You find it in the book of Nehemiah. Jerusalem is in ruins. How is God going to deal with this? How is God going to restore the ruin? Now folks, look at me. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was a career man. But this was a praying man. And God found a man who would not just have a flash of emotion, not just some great sudden burst of concern and then let it die. He said, no, I broke down and I wept and I mourned and I fasted. And then I began to pray night and day. Why didn't these other men, why didn't they have an answer? Why didn't God use them in restoration? Why didn't they have a word? Because there was no sign of anguish. No weeping. Not a word of prayer. It's all ruin. Does it matter to you today? Does it matter to you at all that God's spiritual Jerusalem, the church, is now married to the world? That there's such a coldness sweeping the land? Closer than that, does it matter about the Jerusalem that's in our own hearts? The sign of ruin that's slowly draining spiritual power and passion, blind to lukewarmness, blind to the mixture that's creeping in. That's all the devil wants to do, is get the fight out of you and kill it. So you won't labor in prayer anymore. You won't weep before God anymore. You can sit and watch television and your family go to hell. Let me ask you, is what I just said convicted you at all? There's a great difference between anguish and concern. Concern is something that you, the biggest interest in. You take an interest in a project or a cause or a concern or a need. And I'm going to tell you something I've learned over all my years, 50 years of preaching. If it is not born in anguish, if it has not been born by the Holy Spirit, where when you saw and heard of the ruin that drove you to your knees, took you down into a baptism of anguish where you began to pray and seek God. I know now. Oh my God, do I know it. Until I'm in agony. Until I have been anguished over it. And all our projects, all our ministries, everything we do. Where are the Sunday school teachers that weep over kids they know are not hearing and they're going to hell? You see, a true prayer life begins at the place of anguish. You see, if you set your heart to pray, God's going to come and start sharing your heart, His heart with you. Your heart begins to cry out, oh God, your name is being blasphemed. The Holy Spirit's being mocked. The enemy is out trying to destroy the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness, and something has to be done. There's going to be no renewal, no revival, no awakening until we're willing to let Him once again break us. Folks, it's getting late and it's getting serious. Please don't tell me. Don't tell me you're concerned when you're spending hours in front of internet or television. Come on. Lord, there's somebody to get this altar and confess. I am not what I was. I am not where I'm supposed to be. God, I don't have your heart or your burden. I wanted it easy. Didn't want to be happy. But Lord, true joy comes. True joy comes out of anguish. There's nothing of the flesh will give you joy. I don't care how much money, I don't care what kind of new house there is. Absolutely nothing physical can give you joy. It's only what is accomplished by the Holy Spirit when you obey Him and take on His heart. Build the walls around your family. Build the walls around your own heart. Make you strong and impregnable against the enemy. God, that's what we desire.
God does what we desire.
Marianne, you can hear the cry in His voice calling this nation to repentance.
Wow.
Please comment on what you just heard, would you, Mary?
Yes. God, through Brother Wilkerson, was sounding a cry, blowing a trumpet. Time is so short. what the Holy Spirit was speaking through him was that sense of urgency that we need to have in this hour. We need to stop doing and allow God to go in and break us and become more like him and hear the cry of his heart. You know, we live in a time, even as I weep, there might be some that are turned off by the tears. But you know what? If you really love the Lord, you're going to hear his heart. And if you're not hearing his heart, you don't love the Lord. And he even said in the word, it says we're in the last days. They won't want to hear. They will say, don't tell us those things. Tell us happy things. Tell us good things. And I tell you what, God loves this planet. God loves people too much to allow them to be deceived, to think that there's something they are not. And so what's happening is God is blowing a trumpet, and he's going to begin to speak through more and more of his servants. Not anyone special, but people that love him and are serving him. And I myself have been in a closet of repentance and seeing those areas where I've slipped away from him, where I've left my first love. And God is calling out, and he's saying to each one of us today, I need you in this hour to be red hot. I need you to come before me and allow me to break you where I am broken, that you might hear what I have to say, to stop everything, to put your iPhone down, to turn off the television, because there's a sense of urgency. Time is shorter than we think. This nation is going down faster than a missile that's launched from outer space. We cannot imagine how short the time is. God's tired of hearing sermons that are not producing powerful witnesses in the earth. He's tired of the country club attitude in the church. He is tired of his name being raised up only for men to be worshiped and worship to be worshiped. He is coming through the body even now and blowing a trumpet and saying, wake up, fall on your face, and let me show you those areas. Let me break your heart where my heart is broke. Let me baptize you in anguish that you might rise up and go forth and be used in this end time last awakening. You see, we can't have an awakening in the things of God without being awakened in ourselves. We can't give the world what we don't have. So that whole clip was a man of God being awakened in his spirit. And he went through a process of God showing him things about himself in his life. You know, his ministry got big after the Cross and the Switchblade movie. And he even said, he said, you know, I let the good things get me. I let them take me away from time with the Lord. And little by little, I grew cold. And God gripped his heart and brought him back. And it's happening to all of us. There's not one of us watching today that haven't in some areas fallen asleep, grown cold. But I thank him today. I thank him that he's waking us up. I thank him that he's blowing a trumpet and sending us his word today, that the time is short. There's a sense of urgency in the spirit, and we need to respond and say, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Mary Ann, you've had a powerful word from the Lord recently about the shaking in America. Would you comment on that?
Yes. Yes. I saw a shaking coming. I saw something more. You know, 9/11 didn't get the church to wake up. I'm talking about the church right now, because if judgment must begin, it must begin in the house of God. And 9/11 didn't work. You know, God tried to wake us up, you know, just like this, an alarm clock on your alarm clock. And you hit the snooze button. America hit the snooze button on 9/11. The church did. And then, you know, even with this COVID, he gave us time to be shut up. I mean, we took everything away so that we could be quiet, hear from him. And you know, guys, it doesn't even seem like COVID did that.
once again, there is another shaking coming. I saw a shaking. I saw a tree being shaken, and the tree was violently shaken. And I thought, well, I wonder, it was like on the harvest field, you know, like in a fruit tree field or almond tree or whatever grove it was. And I asked my husband, I said, I'm a city slicker and he's a farm country boy. I said, honey, are there machines that grab a hold of a tree and shake it violently so that everything is shaken off? He said, oh, yes, yes, they have machines that do that. And Jim, Lori, Mondo, and Marcel, I began to research that. And I literally saw machines that go in and they grab the trunk and they violently shake it. And everything that is in that tree, I mean, you talk about the fruit that's ripe, snakes, because snakes crawl up in trees, rodents, everything that could have been shaken out of that violent shaking fell on the ground. And the harvesters could come and get the fruit and harvest the what was left. And the Lord said, there's coming another shaking in America. I saw America. And I saw that this shaking, if the church did not welcome the shaking and allow the church to be shaken and broken, that it would not only, it was like a simultaneous shaking. As I said, there was ripe fruit in the tree, but there were also snakes and rodents and insects that caused the tree harm. That same shaking will affect everyone. This last shaking in America, it's going to affect everyone. And it's going to be God's call to the church to wake up one last time and to get up and to move forward in this last revival. And you know, in Mark 8, I love the story. It's the story of Jesus. It says in there that Jesus, there was a man that was blind. And the word says that Jesus spit in his eyes. Now, he didn't take mud. That was another story. Jesus in Mark 8 spit in this man's eyes. Now, can you imagine someone doing that today? That's the radical obedience that's going to be needed. Jesus spit in this man's eyes, and Jesus said to him, he was blind. He said, what do you see? And the man said, I see men walking like trees. And Jesus touched him with his hand and he said, what do you see? He said, I can see clearly. This shaking is going to cause men who are likened unto men, trees likened unto men. It's going to clarify what's happening in the earth. It's going to be an opportunity for repentance. It's going to be an opportunity for the fruit to be gathered up and reaped in one last revival, awakening, whatever you want to call it. But yes, I saw a shaking in America. One last, it's going to be so powerful, you guys. The Lord doesn't show us everything. I've heard people say, well, why didn't the prophets, know about COVID coming? Well, you know what? There are some things that are revealed, that are reserved for only God. So I can't tell you today what the shaking is, whether it's an earthquake on the West Coast, although we know that's coming. I can't tell you if the dollar will crash. I don't know what it is, but I know it is once again going to get the attention of America, and that will be the church's last call. If those that belong to the church that God is speaking to through this telecast, even now, preparing you, if those that God is calling that claim to be Christians will not repent at that time, they will be spit out of Jesus's mouth. Revelation 3. We are that close, and we are coming into an anguish and a radical desperation from the Holy Spirit to save people.
You know, Marianne, I know what you're saying, and I know it's truth. And this shaking has begun. The volcanoes are shaking. The earthquakes are shaking. thousands of earthquakes, Armando.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how the number. We ought to start adding them up because there's tens of thousands of earthquakes.
Absolutely.
And there's a shaking, and this shaking is going to be beyond what man can understand.
Yeah.
Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And God has to wake us up to bring us to himself and to bring us to revival. And we must come close to him.
Absolutely. When you look at earthquakes like this one, they're very rare. But listen to this headline. According to the Denver Channel ABC 7, earthquake recorded near Iceland volcano that has been erupting for a month. The long dormant volcano is the area's first eruption in nearly 800 years. This is a big event. Another one, South China Sea, Taiwan rattled by two earthquakes bracing for aftershocks. Another one, magnitude 5.9 earthquake hit southern Iran. Another one over here, two earthquakes in Northern California. You are watching the ring of fire shake like no other time in our history. When you look at over 800 years ago, now you're seeing a shaking take place in a place called Iceland. No one was planning for that. And then you're watching the volcanoes one after another erupting. This is disrupting the areas where people are not ready for.
And this is key.
Yes, sir.
These shakings are key. Marianne, what you're saying is so right on, and it's what we've been trying to teach. And I teach from the Revelation, because where we are right now in the book of Revelation is these shakings. Mm-hmm. And God's trying to wake up the world. And every day they're doing something more to banish the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why people need to be so ready in their hearts. They need to know what the gospel's about, what the Bible says.
Yes.
So be not afraid about it. You know, just fear not. Right. And trust God. Mm-hmm. And let your life
be a witness to others.
It's so easy for me, after being through the year of the shadow of death, that I want to go home to heaven. There's I'm just tired of it all. I'm tired of the warfare. Mm-hmm. But yet I know these are the most important days on earth. These are the days that literally I was born for.
Exactly,
the prophets
right.
laid their hands on me when I was a teenager.
Yes.
And said that I would help usher in the coming of the Lord. And it's now, Marianne, I'm very concerned. I know your vision of the shaking is true. And see, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And as you've seen this total shaking of this tree, which is symbol of what God's trying to wake up. Will we wake up? Will America wake up? How is it going to wake up? How is God going to expose this wickedness that I think little by little Hollywood has just changed our whole thinking. The politicians have changed the laws. They've changed the court systems. Now they're trying to change the Supreme Court, trying to change every where they can't change the America. They're making laws that makes it so we have to change. What is going to wake us up, Marianne?
It's going to take prayer. It's going to take fasting in the church. If the church wants to be prepared, they must start shutting down unnecessary things and begin to call prayer meetings. I heard a minister the other day say, you know, politics is shallow. We need to just continue to teach. Politics is not shallow. If you're not preparing your people for what's coming on the earth, if you're going to give them 1, 2, 3 steps to prosperity or happiness, they will not be able to make it in the future. God is going to deal with the shepherds. We're going to see mega churches close. We are going to see people scattered. And if the pastors are not preparing their people, they're going to stand before God and be more accountability given to them. But we need to stop and pray. You know, Leonard Ravenhill, who was David Wilkerson's mentor, was so so adamant about prayer. And right now, we need to get into prayer closet. We need to stop. Churches need to have prayer meetings. They need to let they need to call people to the altars. If we don't, people are going to be scattered and lost. But I mean, the good news is there are going to be those. There is a remnant that God is going to manifest and raise up. They're going to be full. Another Pentecost, another baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this small army, like Gideon's army, will go forth and they will do more. They will be more effective with few of them than all these past years with the mega churches. You know, I liken it to the church in America as a whole. I don't mean all of them. It's like 1 inch deep and like 100 miles wide. And God is going to narrow that. There's going to be a depth. People are going to begin to go deeper in him, to go into prayer and fasting and fasting. Deny your flesh. And if you really want to hear what God is saying, get into prayer and fast. And so God's going to do more with a shorter amount of time with fewer people. And that's the remnant he talks about in Isaiah 30. It's a beautiful picture of what God does. He takes the church, Israel, he takes them through this violent time and this testing, a time of testing in Isaiah 30. And those that have stood and those that really have a heart for him, that really love him and want him, his face, seek his face, not his hands, are going to come out of this shining so bright. The stars in Hollywood will be shaken. You know, that sign sits on a hill, the Hollywood sign. In Isaiah 13, it talks about that the hill being shaken and falling, the stars falling. When I read that, the Lord showed me, I'm not talking about the literal stars. He gave me, all truth is parallel. Where you see a spiritual parallel, you see a natural parallel. Well, in Isaiah 13, that hill and the stars that fall is a literal, but there is a spiritual. There's a spiritual analogy here, and that those stars in Hollywood, people are not going to be able to relate with them. What the Kardashians are wearing to the Grammys, are no one's going to care. The times are going to be so desperate. You're going to want to hear hope. You're going to want to know what's going on. You're going to want to know and hear from someone that there is a God and there is still time, although it's short. And so this is where we are. God, from the ashes, just like Ezekiel, an army. God is raising up the Joel army. And out of the bones, the scattered broken bones, God's going to call. And God told Ezekiel, he said, prophesy to the wind. And when Ezekiel prophesied, life entered those bones. And so I want to encourage the prophetic community. We need to check our hearts. We need to get in the closet. We need to hear from God. But once we hear from God, we are to stay obedient and not back down and allow the Holy Spirit to speak and breathe life into the church and into the world. I'm excited. There's good coming. There's good on the other side.
So you're saying that the movie stars will not have the influence. No one is going to have influence except when those who are fearful of God are going to look and hear from God. In Isaiah 13:10, it says, the Bible says, for the stars and their constellations shall not give their light. The sun shall be dark when it rises, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So you believe this, this refers to movie stars even, and the people who have taken power, and that somehow they're going to fall from grace. And, you know, during these last few months, Hollywood is almost closed down. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to reopen now. But God is shaking. Mm-hmm. I know you're trying to wake people up, and I wish they would wake up. It breaks my heart to see the church and to see the children of the church people mocking God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Children of the great Christian leaders mocking their dads and moms. Mm. It's sad, Lori, what's going on in the world.
It's heartbreaking.
Because the evil, it is like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's like the days of Noah, right?
Absolutely.
What we've studied so much about. So these stars falling, how will the stars fall? How will this happen? What is this all about? Can you just add to that just a little bit?
The fallout of the shaking, you remember the tree, you know, and again, the tree are people. The man said, I see men walking like trees. So God is going to begin to shake people. And people make up companies, they make up Hollywood, they make up. When this shaking happens, all the things are left. The fallout of the shaking will reveal the real heart. And people are going to be absolutely disgusted when their eyes are opened by what they see. I'll tell you one thing that's going to be shaken out of Hollywood is an exposure of the pedophilia cartel. You know, it used to be when I was in the world, and Laura, you can relate, 70s or early 80s. I got saved in 1980, but I know in the 70s and going on beyond after I was saved, I remember drug cartels coming up from Colombia. And I remember our drummer was one of the main connections for all the major rock bands in Los Angeles. And it used to be that there were drug cartels. But do we realize that now the money-making business is not drugs? It is sex trafficking. And there are those in Hollywood that sit in seats of high places that are pedophile lords. Lords over sex trafficking cartels. God's going to expose that. And you know, people might be ungodly. You know, if you go into a prison, they say that if you get thrown in prison and you are there because of a child abuse or you killed a kid, boy, the guys in the prison, there's one thing they don't like, and that's hurting kids and sex trafficking. Now, isn't that interesting? In prison, that is the mode of operation. And there is a mentality coming forth. Well, when people see the exposure of this pedophilia cartel, they will absolutely be sick to their stomachs. And they will not laud the movie stars. And Hollywood will not have, you know, there in what you read, Jim, out of Isaiah 13:10, it says the stars will fall and the constellations. The constellations are those things that, you know, are around the stars, the networks, the media that props them up. The people are not going to watch. They're going to be disgusted. So the fallout will expose what's really going on in Hollywood. Now, that's the world. God's also going to expose secret sin in the ministers. This thing is going to hit across the board. And if people are not prepared, if they're not on their faces, crying out to God and have an intimate relationship with the Lord, it'll blow them out of the water. That's why we have to warn them and tell them that you can run to Jesus. He's the only one faithful. He has his hand on everything right now, and he will bring you out victorious, and he will show you which way to go. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus. It's going back to Jesus and getting our eyes off of everything in this life, because it's getting ready to fall apart.
We'll have Marianne back tomorrow. I got so much to ask about. Is God shaking the world and the church at the same time? But we'll start there tomorrow, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's time, people. This shaking, you know, I'm shaking. I'm shaking like this. And I understand what's coming.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that the world isn't ready, of course, but the church isn't ready.
Right. I know we only have a few minutes left, but I just have to read this scripture. Go to your Bible, open Revelation 3. Marianne pointed to it earlier, but if you actually read Revelation 3, I'm just going to start at verse 19 real quick, because this is what the Lord is saying to us, the church. Those whom I love, Now, these are the letters in red. These are from Jesus. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, will I grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. This, our time's gone for today. I wish we had more time. This
yeah,
is powerful.
That's so good. Yeah.
It's powerful. Yes. And the generator people from the yes. Safari,
uh-huh.
they have an amazing product. Would you tell us about that?
Yes.
They've given us like 48
that's
more
right.
hours the before
last,
the price.
Absolutely.
They raised it last month.
Yeah.
They said they would, but then they didn't do it because yeah. they said so many people were in the process of ordering.
Mm-hmm.
And so they extended it, but the month, the
gracious.
Second month
that's
is gone
right.
now. So
yes.
they have 48 hours.
Yes, these are the last 48 hours to take advantage of the Lion Energy, the ME, which is More Energy Generator. And so we have right now available, you can go to jimbakershow.com. We do still have the financing available options there, but this is the Lion Safari ME Generator Deluxe Bundle, which I believe is the one that if you can get it, that's the key. It's the one of the ME, More Energy Generator, one 100-watt solar panel, the Anderson cable, the expansion battery that gives you three times the amount of power, along with the Safari EMP bag. And this bag helps protect your generators and any other electronic devices small enough to fit inside of this bag from a potential electromagnetic pulse. And so this is the bundle right here, the $4,900 offer to the ministry. This helps us to stay on the air, but take advantage of this right now while it lasts. 48 hours left. Go to jimbakershow.com. You can see all the offers that we have available there for these last few hours.
Yes.
Right now, we want you to take a look at the More Energy Generator and how you can use it in your home.
All right, so I'm going to try and walk you through as many things that are actually turned on as possible here. Actually, every single outlet in this house is currently powered on. You can see that we do have internet, the TV, the Fire Stick, which is providing the stuff that's on the TV. We also have my receiver down there for switching things around, and also the amplifier for my Bose 901 speakers up in the corners. We have lots of little gadgets in the house, like this thermometer gauge here, lots of little lamps, and all of my night lights and all that stuff is currently turned on as well. And you can see down here, I do have my phone actually displaying the current used wattage, which is 944 watts at the moment, which means that my refrigerator compressor is working right now at about 400 watts. You can see that the refrigerator is turned on if I wanted to get ice. And then switch over to water. Everything is working completely normally. So you can see it does have electricity. My entire office is connected, my DSLR camera, my three LED beauty lights, and video lights and stuff. You can see my laptop is turned on and we are connected to the internet right here. Dual monitor setup. It's currently running three different external hard drives. Three external hard drives are being run off that, and this is all sensitive equipment, which I completely trust to the Pure Sine Wave inverter. But as you can see, life is completely normal as far as the electricity is concerned. And this is a lot of stuff, you guys. This is running a lot of individual items. And we're gonna see if we push this guy over the top by using this huge LG microwave. Here we go. The microwave is running. The entire house is still turned on. Let's see how much wattage we're using. Ooh, 2,120. Computer, turn off the outside lights. Computer, turn off the outside lights. There we go. That'll get us down close, right at 2,000 watts. But hey, it didn't click off. We went over 2,000 watts. So we're pushing the full amount of power right now out of this guy running that microwave and my entire house. We have cell phones charging, computers going, refrigerators, and the microwave for a 1 minute run. It's just incredible what this thing can actually run and run really well for a very long time. And you can recharge it with solar by plugging it in, anything like that. And also just to show you, this guy is unplugged from the wall. And you have to make sure that you do that before you power your whole house like this. Otherwise it's gonna cause a feedback loop and it'll it'll get weird. But that wraps it up, guys. And just to prove to you that everything is running off of this guy, now I'm gonna turn it off. So you can kind of see my whole house here. Here we go, I'm gonna push the button. There goes my entire house. This is right in the middle of my living room. We don't have to worry about noxious fumes or gas or oil or leaks or anybody else hearing it. If you're in an off-grid situation and you don't want people to know you have, you know, this kind of thing, it's a lot quieter than a generator, and it's right here in the middle of my living room, and I think that's pretty darn cool.
I love that, to see that.
That is powerful little machine.
Yes, yeah. It absolutely
that generator
is.
And all the, is that the complete kit
yes,
now?
That's right. That's the Lion
Even with
Safari
the bag?
Expansion battery. Yes, that includes the expansion battery with that offer, mm-hmm. So that offers three times more the storage capacity. Mm-hmm. So as you watched, he had his more energy generator along with the expansion battery. In that offer, you'll receive plus the solar panel and the EMP bag.
That's right.
And so, the wonderful thing, when you do something through Lion Energy, mm-hmm. they're your friend forever.
Yes, that's right.
And
absolutely.
You can call them, and yes. if you're hooking up like this man did his mm-hmm. hookup,
that's right.
You can figure out how that's to right. do it.
Absolutely.
Because you can just call the experts right at the factory.
Absolutely,
you know.
Yes.
So we only have 48 hours to get the old price. But now after 48 hours, you can still finance.
Yes,
you can finance it now.
Will still be available. That's
and
right.
And the financing will be available, but it'll be a higher price.
That's right.
That's all.
The best thing to do is go to jimbakershow.com and you can look into the whole financing situation if that works best for you. And but right now is the time to take advantage of this offer because it's just today. And tomorrow.
It runs
right?
out in 48 hours.
That's right.
So yeah.
Don't miss tomorrow's show with Mary Ann Peluso Megahem. She'll be back with us. And so much to say.
Yes.
I bring to you the people who speak mm-hmm. for today, the
yes.
prophets of the hour. And I believe that Mary Ann is a prophetess. I guess we call a lady prophet, prophetess, that is speaking to this generation. We have to go. And if you can give today, we need your help to stay on the air. And anything you can give, any dollar amount, anything you can give to help. God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you. Call us.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today. 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to the Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.